great, I'd like to say what a great morning it's been so far, but I can't tell you that. We have a one-car garage at our house, and guess whose car is in a garage? Of course it is, and it should be. So I went out to clean my car off this morning and realized that I don't have a scraper in my car. So I went in to get Diane's scraper out of her car. And on the way into the garage, I noticed that the driveway, our driveway, which goes down under our house, was very slick. So I thought, I'll get that snow melt, that ice melt stuff we have, and I'll go out and do that driveway for her so she doesn't slide coming up. So anyway, I get this stuff, and I start the top of the driveway, and I'm sprinkling it down. All of a sudden, my feet go out from under me, and I go down the driveway on my knees. Well, I've recovered pretty much, but then I get here and I realize that I've messed times up and other things have happened, and so I'd like to say it's a good day, and it is, because we can refocus on that stuff, but the thing about my pants is Diane came in and said, first of all, she wondered why I was back in the house, and I had to change clothes again, and she said, well, I've got your pants in the wash for the second time, trying to get the asphalt out of your knees, so pray that that happens. Either that or I get new pants for Christmas, one or the other. No, I have more than two pair, thank you. Did you say that, Brenda? Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. And we'll read that in just a minute, but have any of you ever specifically searched out letters to Santa that kids have written? Go on Google or someplace and just search these things out because they're hilarious. Some of them I couldn't bring to read to you today because they probably shouldn't be read, but I have a few, so just listen. Dear Santa Claus, all I want is a few things, but they might not be a few things to you. Is 39 things too much? Come to my house and you will find my Christmas list. Love, Jacqueline. P.S. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Dear Santa, when it was Saturday, I thought I would try to be good the whole winter vacation. But it seems like I did not succeed. Will you still give me a present anyway? This is my favorite. Dear Santa, I think you are a fat man. And I'm not leaving you any cookies. Because Mrs. Claus said, you're on a diet. You need to stay away from junk food and don't eat too much on your trip around the world. That's why I'm leaving you vegetables this year. Now, I just got to, if I was Santa Claus and I got to that house and that's all there were vegetables, I'd take their toys and I'd be out of there. Just a thought. That's why I'm leaving you vegetables this year with ultra skim milk. I hope you lose some weight because with all those toys and you, I start to feel sorry for Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, and Rudolph. I sure hope you brought everything I asked for. Well, since I didn't see you this year in person, I hope to see you next year. Love you, bye, Jennifer, 10 years old. Here's another. Dear Santa, this Christmas I'm asking for you to help the homeless kids first. What a great, great request. Then I would like Disney Rocks on Ice tickets, art stuff, new clothes, a new quilt for my bed, a skateboard, a book, and stuff. I hope he gets the homeless kids first. And then, my favorite of all, Dear Santa, what I want for Christmas is a little sister, but not right away. Like in 2 years. Love, Samantha. I was watching this week, too, the old Art Linkletter show. Anybody remember Art Linkletter? And there was a part of that called Kids Say the Darndest Things. And while none of them were about Christmas, I almost fell out of my chair laughing at them. So, he is our peace. And in spite of all the stuff, falling down the driveway, and we had surgeries in the church this week, and Joyce is doing well. Is that right, Rick? And that's an answer to prayer. And we know of other situations that are going on, but at this time of the year, we can't have peace. It's frustrating sometimes. And I think stores don't want us to have peace. They want us to spend money we don't have during times that we really can't make the time. And something that's happened over the last several years that I can never remember happening when I was growing up, and it seems like it's all over the internet now, are people fighting over toys. Have you seen those things? I don't mean just grabbing. I mean smacking, knocking down, kicking, doing all of those things. For what? For something that's temporal. Something that's not eternal. Because people are selfish, self-centered, and not centered on the real reason we have peace. Stand with me as I read the scripture. Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to start reading in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day at Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray today that we'll be able to set aside all the busyness, all the frustration, all the stuff that comes with this time of the year. And Lord, may we focus on you, our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. Help us to experience your peace in ways that maybe we've not experienced it before. And we will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. There's a story that told, and that's a true story. Many of you that know that story. But there was, during the First World War in 1914, they called a Christmas peace treaty. The Allies and Germans were fighting one another, and there were a system of trenches on both sides of the battlefield with an area between those trenches called No Man's Land. And on Christmas Eve, during the truce, German soldiers began to sing Silent Night. And I can't remember the whole thing in German, but I do know it's called Stille Nacht. While they were singing, the Allies joined in singing in English. Men came out of the trenches and gathered together in No Man's Land. They continued to sing of the birth of Christ. They shared gifts. They even played soccer with one another. They participated in each other's burial services. And the next day, they went back to killing one another. Temporary peace, but not the peace that the Bible talks about. Although the Bible does speak of peace as the absence of conflict, but it's more than that. Peace in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom is a statement of desire for the one to whom we are speaking. The Hebrew people say shalom at greeting and shalom as a parting. Shalom means to be at peace in your life. Have no fear. It's a sense of safety. It's a sense of harmony with neighbors and harmony with God. A complete sense of well-being. Isn't that what peace is supposed to be? Isn't that the peace that passes understanding we read about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? A complete sense of well-being, regardless of the sacrifice or the situations, regardless of sliding down the driveway on your knees, regardless of all the stuff that goes on. I mean, this is a hugely busy time of the year, isn't it? People are shopping. People are baking cookies. People are doing all kinds of things, spending time buying presents, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things as long as we focus on the reason we have Christmas. In 2011, Boone, this is for you, even though you don't like it. An NBA player named Ron Artest changed his name to Meta World Peace in seeking for complete peace in the world. Now, that didn't describe Ron Artest's basketball game because he was violent and deliberately abused other people and abused the rules, screamed at referees. But that's not the end of the Ron Artest story, because now he's in the process of changing his name to the Panda's Friend. I'd like to tell you that's a joke, but it's not. One man changing his name to Meta World Peace does not guarantee peace. But there is one man who came and gave his life so that we could have peace with God. This passage in Isaiah is a prophecy. Let me just tell you and help us understand what prophecy is. There are two things that are true about prophecy. One is a foretelling. A foretelling. The prophecy is spoken for the people living at that time. Isaiah was speaking to people at that time. As a matter of fact, he was speaking directly to King Ahaz. King Ahaz was a wicked king. He started ruling at 16 and ruled for 20 years. He never listened to God. Never. He never repented, but the people did. And Isaiah was saying, one day there will be a complete peace. If I could ask you this morning, are you at peace? What would you say? Some of you say absolutely, and some of you have gone through some really difficult things. But sometimes our lives are chaotic. Sometimes things are happening and we are swayed and driven by those things that are chaotic rather than our peace with God. One of my favorite parts about these scriptures is when it says in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." I like the word "us" there because it talks about a relationship. And I've been talking about this a long time and over and over and over again, and maybe it's getting annoying or trite or something, but the fact is, what we need during this time of the year, what we need during every time of the year, is a relationship with God. And I wonder if we realize that. Church people need a relationship with God. Just because you attend church doesn't mean you have a relationship with God. You know, we can walk into this room every single day, every single Sunday, and not have a relationship with God. So the question is for all of us, do we have that relationship? Not only is prophecy a foretelling, it's also a foretelling. And that's the way we normally look at prophecy. It's predicting things that will happen in the coming time. And that's exactly what this is. Even though some of this prophecy and foretelling or forthtelling is about King Hezekiah, who followed Ahaz and was a good king, Hezekiah didn't meet all of these things. But there's coming a day when one man, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to the cross for us to pay a debt we could not pay, was buried and rose again and is coming again. One day, he will bring permanent peace. Have you heard the statement over and over and over again, pray for peace in the Middle East? Have you heard that? Let me just give you an absolute truth today. There will be no peace in the Middle East until Jesus comes. There will be no peace. I don't care how much money we spend. I detest the idea that young men and women are giving their lives on a regular basis. I hate that. Because when they leave, things are going to be exactly the same. But when Jesus comes back, things will change. One day, we'll have peace because the Prince of Peace will come. Are you looking forward to that? Just wondering. Jesus spoke often about the prophecies concerning himself. In Luke chapter 24, let me read a few verses to you. 24, verse 20, 25 through 27. Excuse me this morning. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Certainly a reference to the prophecy. In Matthew, there are 14 specific prophecies that are linked with Jesus. I can't remember the exact number, but in the Bible, there are over 300 prophecies that are fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And the odds of that, of one man fulfilling all of those things, is astronomical. And yet they were fulfilled in Christ. Human beings are not born with a sense of peace. Human beings are born selfish and sinful. Human beings are born in sin. We sin because we're sinners. It is impossible for us not to sin. Absolutely impossible. And because of that, we cannot have peace with God. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. You cannot, in and of yourself, please God. You cannot, in and of yourself, have peace with God. Peace with God comes because of a relationship with God. And I wonder every once in a while why people are just looking everywhere for peace when peace is found in God. Can't we tell people about peace? Can't we tell people about true peace in God? Then one of my favorite passages in the Scripture, which contains my favorite verse, by the way, is Romans chapter 5. Listen. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. All of those verses talk about what happens when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified just simply means to be made just as if we'd never sinned, to be made righteous. We have peace, the absence of conflict with God, because of what Christ has done, because of our faith in him. We also have, it says, we've obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. While we were outside of Christ, while there was no relationship with Christ, reconciliation was impossible because we would not do what it took to be reconciled. Did God do that for us? God sent His Son. God, the Son, became the Son of God. God became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, so that we could have a relationship with Him. You know, after a period of time, I think that one of the things I've learned in my life, and I don't keep track because I don't know. I can't make the judgment. Not everybody who's a church member is a born-again believer. Not everyone who is a church member is a born-again believer. Not everyone who has been baptized is born again. By the way, born-again believer is redundant because the only kind of believer there can be is born again. Every once in a while, I think that you and I need to take inventory. Are we really in Christ or are we not? If we are really in Christ, shouldn't it make a difference in our lives? Shouldn't it be almost impossible to go on living the same kind of life instead of continuing to grow up in Him? God's goal for every believer is found in Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of His Son. So are we more conformed this Christmas than we were last? Are we more conformed to His image this Christmas than we were on Easter? How about this? Are we more conformed to Him, to His image now than we were at Thanksgiving? Shouldn't that be a day-by-day process? Us becoming more like Jesus? Allowing the Holy Spirit to work more in our lives, to have more control in our lives, to produce in our lives what only the Holy Spirit can produce? Verse 10. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. I bet that if you ask people who you knew were not Christians, if they were enemies of God, they will tell you absolutely not. After all, they do good stuff. And I'm not saying people don't do good stuff. They do. There are good moral people. There are. There are probably people who are, this shouldn't happen, but there are probably people who are better morally than some who claim to be Christians. That should never happen. But let me tell you this morning, I've known some good moral people who never trusted Christ. And I will tell you that when they died, they did not go to heaven based on what they'd done. They didn't go to heaven because they were good moral people. Because the only way you get into heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that He's risen from the dead, you will be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever what? Believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the good thing about the Bible is God saves sinners. He saved Paul. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Even after his conversion, he referred to himself as the chief of sinners. How important is it to share the gospel? Saved people can't be saved again. Now, I know the weather is bad today. I do know the weather is bad, and the weather's kept some people away today. My youngest brother and his family were going to be here, but they live up north of Mansfield, and he said we're just iced in. So people are trapped by the ice. But regardless of that, these pews should be full on a regular basis because of people seeking God, because we've invited them to come and seek Him, because they see Him in our lives. And so if the pews are not full, then there's something wrong with us. And maybe the God we worship on Sunday mornings, the one who is that we celebrate at Advent, joy, love, peace, hope, maybe, just maybe, that's not true in our lives. People can only know peace through our Savior, Jesus Christ. While we were enemies. You know, when you read the scripture, does it cause you to stop and worship God? Does it? We've been justified by faith. God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, statements like that ought to drive us to our knees in worship. For while we were enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. Shouldn't those things cause us to pause and just think who he is and what he's done for us? Think of this, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, the sinless Son of God who didn't need to, who didn't come to pay the sacrifice for his sin, but for ours. Shouldn't that cause us to take notice of what he's done? Shouldn't that cause us, especially at this time of the year, but I say especially at this time of the year, but it ought to be true every day of the year. But when at this time of the year, when we supposedly celebrate the birth of Christ, shouldn't that cause us to stop and take inventory? I think sometimes we become casual with the Word of God, that it ceases exciting us, that it ceases giving us hope. I once said years ago that it's hard to preach Christmas and Easter sermons because you're just saying the same thing all the time. But I want you to know, this should be an easy time of the year to preach sermons. This should be an easy time to talk about the joy, the hope, the love, and the peace that comes in Christ. It should be easy to preach about the resurrection of Christ. Now, I understand we can use the same passages, but at the same time, shouldn't we have new insight? Shouldn't we just, I'm just thinking. My favorite chapter of the book says these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians chapter 4. Again, I would say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, pay attention to this, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's he saying? Pray. Pray. Supplication means simply asking God. Pray. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe we have no peace because we have no prayer. Maybe there's no peace because we don't focus on the one who is peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do we really understand the Son of God being our peace? You see, I can have peace with God through Christ. And you can have peace with God through Christ. But not everyone has peace with God through Christ. And I think sometimes people are more open this time of the year to hear about Jesus. It's hard to go places and not see the nativity, the creche. I haven't been downtown for a long time, but didn't they used to have that at Nationwide, at the Nationwide, old Nationwide building downtown? I don't mean that. There's also one on Broad Street, State Farm. Is this still there? Thanks. But the fact is, you can find the creche, the nativity scene, in a lot of places. People are focused on that now, at this time of the year. You know, it's not so much about every time you hear a bell ring, an angel gets its wings. It's not about that. It's not about that little kid coming down the steps in his pink bunny pajamas. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. It's not about those things. It's not about the Polar Express.
although those are great stories, it is about the birth of the Savior. And we need to focus on that. The only peace that I know we can have that lasts. You know, we talked about the peace between the Allies and Germans on one night in December of 1914. Temporary peace. But we can have a permanent peace because of the permanent Savior. What's it take to have that peace? Listen carefully. Even for those of us who know this, we need to hear it again. In order to have that peace, we need to confess our sins. You see, a Christian isn't necessarily at peace all the time with God because sin has happened in their lives. And sometimes we allow that sin to stay, and the more that sin stays in our lives, the more we don't confess it, the less peace we have. And so if we're going to have peace with God, everybody, saved, unsaved, needs to confess their sin. So if you're not at peace with God this morning, what's keeping you from being there? What is it in our lives that we need to confess and repent of and ask God to take away? God still forgives, doesn't he? Peace. How about Galatians chapter 5? The fruit of the Spirit. If we are saved, if we are born again, if we are Christians, these things must be on display in our lives. Not should be, must be on display in our lives. And even though we're going to talk about 9 different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, it is one fruit produced by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if these things are not on display in our lives, we could have a problem. And that problem could be at the root of our relationship. Now, I understand that some of these are more evident than others, but 9 facets of the fruit of the Spirit need to be on display in our lives. Here they are: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you kind to others? Is it possible that Christians are not kind to other Christians? Is it possible that Christians are not at peace with other Christians? Is it possible that we don't experience the joy of the Lord because of sometimes how we're treated by people in the church? We need to repent. Confess and repent. I'll read those just one more time. Love, joy, peace, patience. I'm getting better at that, by the way. I'm not yelling at people so much as they cut me off on the road. I'm still a work in progress. Kindness. It's one of those things my mom taught me when I was a kid. If you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. Have you heard that before? Have you taught that to your kids? If you can't say something nice about someone, don't say anything at all. What that means is you got nothing good to say, keep your mouth shut. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Shut up until you can say something nice. By the way, here's something I've learned in my own life. You can't, if you're praying for someone, you have to be nice to them. There's no other way it works. If you're praying for someone, legitimately praying for them, and seeking their best while you're praying for them, it is impossible not to be kind to them. It is impossible not to see them as God sees them. And if it is possible, then there's a problem, there's a flaw in you, not in them. Maybe we ought to learn about kindness. That doesn't mean that I'm always going to like what you do, Jerry. I love Jerry. I don't know if he's ever done anything to offend me. I don't think he has. But at the same time, if he did, I should not respond in kind. I need to pray and to treat him how? With kindness, because that's the fruit of the Spirit working in my life. And I'll tell you this, it is not always easy to do that, because it's been all my life, here's what my response has been, up until several years ago when we began to rein it in some. I'm pretty open to you telling me that I have a problem. But if you come at the wrong in the wrong way, if you come into my office or you approach me somewhere and you jump all over me, then here's my response. I'm thinking about tearing his jugular out. I am. But if I'm praying and he's praying about coming to me, then we can work anything out and we can respond in kindness. And that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit, if those things aren't happening in your life on a regular basis, then there is no Holy Spirit. If you can't be kind to people and gentle with them and patient with them, if you can't love them, if you can't be at peace with them, if you can't desire their best, then there is no Holy Spirit. Hear me say that. Because I believe that with all my heart. Because that's what the Bible teaches. The fruit of the Spirit are these things. Peace. Love. Joy. And peace. This Christmas season, hear me say, there's nothing wrong with shopping. But the stores are enticing us to buy things we do not need with money we do not have for people who won't care a lick about us in a month. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Focus on God. Seek Him. Enjoy His love and the hope that is in Him. Enjoy His peace. Be filled with His joy. Know God, N-O God, N-O peace. K-N-O-W God. K-N-O-W, peace. No God, no peace. No God, no peace. Is that true of you this year? Is it true of each of us this year? Does the peace of God that surpasses, that overcomes, that overwhelms, does that peace of God fill us this year? Focus on Him. Enjoy His peace. After all, the Prince of Peace has come so that we, through a relationship with Him, can experience His peace in ways that the world will never understand. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are today. For the prophet Isaiah, who spoke those words concerning our Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, assuring us that at some coming time there will be absolute peace because He is our wonderful Counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Father, may we trust in Him and Him alone. Produce in our lives through the Holy Spirit Your fruit. May we always seek You. May we always desire a relationship with You that continually conforms us to the image of Your Son. May You be at work in our lives to produce the fruit, the things that ought to guide our lives so that others may see and rejoice. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your power, and may we tap into that. We bring to You our praise and our celebration at being in your presence and in the company of other believers. Lord, go with us from this place this day. Lead us and guide us in peace. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm doing something different this